So today's daf is Kuf Yubet, and you're in the end of the Masechet. See you tomorrow. Okay, unfortunately, I'm up for the week. David Avram ben Miriam, Orli Pnei Baruch Alfredi, Elmer Bat Chai, Rafael Levi Brachman ben Zippor, Yoshua Dan ben Naomi, Roni Batzara, Avam, Muna Bat Chava, Shlomo Zalman ben Esther Lea, Sarah Chabat Tova, Billy Loinishmar of Yitzhak Tzvi ben Lea, Etel Moshe Chaim ben Huva, Herschel Tzvi Shlomo Chaim ben Pesach, Vedina Sarah. We're going to start from Ibai Elihu at the very top of Kuf Yubet. The Mishnah was all about details about Irani Dachat, when it's considered Irani Dachat, what has to be done, it has to be the majority of the city, all different details. We'll get into a bunch of them in the Gemara. We'll start from Ibai Elihu question. A question is asked, Hutchume Alehem Mahu? If the city decides. The way it's described, Irani Dachat, is somebody makes everybody turn away. There's a midiach, or midichim, right? There's a group of people, or an individual, who convinces the people to go astray, go worship Avodah Zarah. And the Mishnah had said, right, it has to be, they have to be from the same city, from the same shevet, from... the majority of the people have to go with them. Achiducha anashim. Nashim or ketanim don't count. Okay, if women or children cause them to go astray, that's not an irhani dachat. So now the question is, what if the city decides on their own? Hudchume elehen. They decided on their own. There was no guy who convinced them. It wasn't that. They all decided, let's go worship Avodah Zarah together. So, do we say viyadichu amarachmana velo shudchum elehen? It says viyadichu et ansheira, meaning somebody caused them. So, if you don't have that, okay, this is very similar to a bunch of situations we saw before, where the Gemara, like the Ben Sorer Moreh, where the Gemara makes it virtually impossible for this to happen. Right? They limit it to such a unique circumstance, which makes sense because we saw, if you remember, Yerani Dachav was one of those things. That lo hayav lo nivra, and then the other guy said, no, I sat on its tail, you know, on the remains of it. Odilma, or do we say, afilu hutchume alehen, right? Maybe you could also say, even if the whole city, or the majority of the city, decides to worship Avodah Zarah, even if there wasn't a mediach. So they say, well, let's learn it from here. Tashma, hidichu anashim uktanim amai, lihaviku hutchume alehen. So why don't you say, well, if nashim uktanim, if you have an isha or ktanim who convinced the city, then it's not considered an irani dachat. So that's no better than hudchume alehen, right? So wouldn't you say then, it's like being hudchume alehen because we, right, this is a good, right, women just don't count or children don't count, and therefore it's as if hudchume alehen, right? And here we see it's not an irani dachat, so therefore we would simply say hudchume alehen is not an irani dachat. But now they say, no, there's a difference. Because hanach batar nafshayu gride, and hane batar nashimu ktanim gride. Okay, it's that there's still a difference, because nashimu ktanim are not the same as hutchume alehen, because nashimu ktanim convinced them to do it. So it could be that the p'tur is because they were convinced by somebody else, and somebody else who's not considered a technical mediach. Whereas in this case, there was no one who convinced them, they all decided on their own, and therefore you might say, maybe that could still be an irani dachat. Now, that's in the case where someone convinced them and they were the wrong kind of person, so then we're going to exclude them. But if they go after themselves, then maybe that could be considered that it is an irani dachat, and therefore the Gemara doesn't conclude. Okay, we don't really know. It's inconclusive. We don't have a good answer. Okay, continuing. Ad shiudach ruba. You need to decide the whole city, right, the majority of the city. If the majority of the city is worshipped Avodah Zarah, then it's going to be an irani dachat. So now we have a technical problem. Hechi avdinan. What do we do then? Because how does it work? If you're an individual who worshipped Avodah Zarah, then you're going to get skila. But if you're in an irani dachat, you're going to get saif. So now, right, that's the whole thing. If it's the whole city, then you get a different mitah. Now, you can't judge everybody at the exact same time. So let's say all these people in the city worship Avodah Zarah. So you judge each one individually. That's what I think the Mishnah had said all that, right? That you, right, you need shnei edim v'hatra'a l'chol echad v'echad. Okay, right, that's what it says in the Mishnah. Tzrichim shnei edim v'hatra'a l'chol echad v'echad. Zechom rabi yechidim mibiru rubim, right? What are the differences? Shechidim b'skila, right? The individuals get skila, and therefore mamonam palat, but they're Rechush doesn't get destroyed. Hamirubim b'sayif, l'fichach mamonam aved. Right? So they only get saif, but their property is destroyed. So now the question is, Well, how do you know it's the majority of the city? Until you've judged each one independently with their edim and hatra'ah, you won't know until you get to 51%. Okay, let's say there's 100 people. So you start with number 1, 2, 3, 4, right? You get up to number 51. Then you know you haven't heard any dachat. So what are you going to do? Because if you judge them first as individuals, then you're going to kill them with skila. And once they become a nirani dacha, you're going to judge them with saif. So,
and you can't wait because once somebody's been
judged, yes, and you can't wait because what were you say? Because
you're supposed to
judge people right away. Exactly, you have to carry out the sentencing immediately. Okay. So how do we do this? So Amar Rav Yehuda, danim bechovshim, danim bechovshim. Okay, they ignore what Ruth says about that, and they say no. We judge them each individually, and we stick them in jail. And they wait. Yeah, and they wait till we get to everybody else. Okay? Which is a little problematic in terms of what Ruth said, which is, what do you mean? You're okay? And that's exactly what Ula says. Amar lei Ula, nimtza tama ne'edinan shel elu. But wait, you're basically prolonging their judgment, which we know you're not allowed to do. Okay? You can't. You have to judge. If your people are judged to get killed, you have to kill them that day. What?
No, it's like today. You get convicted and then you get sentenced.
It is like today, except that according to halacha, you're not allowed to do that. Okay, according to what we learned, you're not allowed to do that kind of thing. So, what do you do? Ela amar ula, danim v'suklim, danim v'suklim. What do? You judge number one, okay, he did a bodhisattva, he gets skila. Number two, gets skila. Number three, skila. When you get to number 51, then you start judging all those people with saif as ir hanidachat. In other words, only once you realize that you've gotten to the majority of the city, the majority of the city is worshipped of Odesar, so the people from there on in get judged like an ir hanidachat.
So
51 to 100, or to whatever number you get up to.
Except that if they're already dead, they've already been killed by skila.
Right, all the first people are killed by skila.
No, but
they're no longer Yerani Dachat.
They get to a majority.
No, because they're still counted. That's the point. Even though you've killed them the wrong way, they're still counted in the count. Okay? Itbar. Rabbi Yochanan, now we're going to see a machloket about this. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, danim v'suklim, danim v'suklim. Rish Lakish Amar, okay, so Rabbi Yochanan says, in fact, this is what we do. Rish Lakish Amar, marbin lahem batei dinim. We just bring lots of courts. We set up a ton of courts and do them all in one day.
I was trying to think about the logistics of that.
Yeah.
And I didn't suggest it.
Right. So, Ini, is that really true? V'hamar v'chamar bar yosi, amar bar yoshaya. V'otzeta et ha'ishahu, o et ha'ishahi. Ish v'isha tamotzi l'sha'arecha. V'ya tamotzi kol ha'ir l'sha'arecha. Okay, this is with this is the mesit, right? One second. Right, I think this is an individual who worships Avodah Zarah. Right, this is about an individual who worships Avodah Zarah. We say we take them out, right, ha'ish o ha'isha, to the shar, okay, which means to the small courts. So what do you see here? You take them out, right, but you can't take more than two people to the local courts, okay? We saw this before, that you can't judge all these people for death in one day. So therefore, that's what they're saying. Ela, so what do? Marbin lahem batei dinim, umayinim b'dinehem, umaskina lehu lebeit din hagadol, v'gamre lehu ledinayu v'katle lehu. This is what you do. You set up a ton of small courts. They judge the people, but they don't come up with a psak din. In other words, they collect all the evidence, they listen to the witnesses, they kind of decide what they think the situation is, and then they pass on all the information to the Beit Din HaGadol, because the Beit Din HaGadol can judge them all in one day. And then they bring the facts on the ground, and then they say, by the way, we've judged all these people in one day, right? They've all been found, and we think that they're all, that they all worshipped Avodah Zarah, and the Beit Din HaGadol finishes the Gemar Din for all of them and kills them all. Okay, and that's according to Rish Lakish, how you do it. Hake taket yoshve ha'ir. Okay, this is, one second, back to the Mishnah. Okay. Hake taket yoshve ha'ir azot lefi cheref. Okay, and then it says, ha'chameret v'hagamelet v'hoveret m'makom l'makom, hare elo mitzilin otan. Right, if people are, shenemar achrem ota ve'et kol asherba ve'et b'emta lefi cheref. Okay, so this is that, This is all a matter of how we determine what people are considered part of the city or not. A chameret and a gamelet, however, makom lemakom, right? Are they part of Yoshvei HaIr or not? It says, haket haket Yoshvei HaIr. Those who are inhabiting the city. So who's considered an inhabitant? So Tanu Rabbanan, Hachameret Vagamelet Vaover Mimakom Lamakom, Lanu B'Tocha V'Hutchuima. Okay, in other words, if they slept in the city, right, then they become part of the Ir Nidachat, depends how long though. Im Nishtahu Sham Shloshim Yom, Hem B'Sayif U'Mamonam Avad. Okay, so if, let's say, sorry, I read this wrong, Lanu B'Tocha V'Hutchuima, let's say they sleep over in the city, and the city, while they happen to be sleeping in the city, the city decides to all worship Avodah Zarah, and they go along with it. So now, right, that's the Vud Chuimah. That's the case. Now we got the halacha. Im nishtahu sham lamid yom, if they've been there for 30 days, then heim b'sayif u'mamonam avad. Then they get sayif, and their money, their property gets destroyed, just like in Ir Nidachat. Pachomikem, but less than 30 days, heim b'skila u'mamonam palat. Okay, so you have these travelers passing through. The determining factor is 30 days. So now the Gemara questions, Ruminhi, but wait a minute, right? So if they worship Avodah Zarah and they're there less than 30 days, then even though the whole city is in Ir Nidachat, they get judged as individuals and they get skila and their property doesn't get destroyed. But now, in a different sugya, it says, Kama yiyeh b'ir v'yeka anshei ha'ir, yud bet chodesh. Okay, how long is someone in the city and he's considered ke'anshei ha'ir? This is from Baba Batra. What's the relevance of being part of anshei ha'ir? It's that you have to pay taxes, you know, for building the walls of the city, all sorts of things. So when are you considered an anshei ha'ir? Okay, yubechodesh. So they say, here, look. There it says yubechodesh. Here it says 30 days. Why is there a difference? Amarava lo kashya. Hala mehavi b'nei mata, hava lahat me miyatve mata. Right, pay attention to the difference. One is anshei ha'ir, and one is yoshvei ha'ir. To be someone who's sitting in the city, right, inhabiting the city, that could be just 30 days. But to be considered anshei ha'ir, that you already have to pay taxes to help pay for the you know, anything going on, then you already have to be mi b'nei ha'ir. I was thinking, if you rent an apartment for 30 days, right, you don't pay arnona generally. I mean, it could be that the landlord will give you some fee that includes the arnona, but you wouldn't go pay arnona to the iriyah, right? But if you're living if you rent an apartment for a year, then already you register for arnona, and, you know, you register in the iriyah, and you start paying property taxes. So that kind of matches this. Although I don't know the 12 months would be the determining factor, right? If you rent a place for 6 months, I don't know what the situation would be, but it could be.
So is there a concept that the person needs to have some time to establish what type of community it is? Because let's say a person just passes by within the first day,
yeah,
and they don't really realize that this is a place of Avodah Zarah. Is it reasonable that they would be killed and counted as part?
Again, no matter what, if they worship Avodah Zarah because they go along with these people, they get killed.
So
it's just a matter, are they considered? Right. No, for sure. If you just, okay, so in the beginning of this year, we discussed that if the majority, we didn't actually get into details, but this comes from yesterday's Mishnah, which is if the majority of the city worships Avodah Zarah, then they're in Ir Nidachat, but the people who didn't worship don't get killed. Right? I think that was clear from the Mishnah. Is that true? And I'm there, I give you a minute. Right.
Is that true? Then why is it called an area of Dacha?
Because there might still be people, it means a majority of the people.
Right, the city still gets wiped out, but I don't think the individuals get wiped out. I'm pretty sure that that's the case. Right, the ancient. I'm pretty sure that they don't get. If they're not part of the city, as if they didn't do it, then they don't get killed. Only the people who did it get killed. Okay, but I'm looking back at the Mishnah. And I think, 1 second, I might have explained something wrong. In the Mishnah.
The majority just had to worship.
Yeah, but that means that the city is judged as an Ir Nidachat, but it doesn't mean the individuals. I don't think the individuals get killed. Okay, so just to clarify, only the people who worship the Avodah Zarah, that's why it says, Shruchim Shnei Edim V'Hatra'a L'Chol Echad V'Echad. So if there's no Edim and Hatra'a against you, then you're not going to get killed. Okay, so therefore, not everybody in the Irani Dachat gets killed. It's only the people who worship the Avodah Zarah.
But their possessions do get destroyed.
But their possessions... Ah, so then we're going to discuss their possessions now. Okay, that's coming up. It was mentioned in the Mishnah. We're going to get to it in a minute. Okay, so we basically say now, if these people happened upon the city and they were sleeping there for more than 30 days, then they're already considered enough part of the city to be judged as an Irani Dachat. However, they don't have to pay taxes to the city. That's a separate thing. Those are two different issues. Now we're going to have a braita to support, Bahatanya. The word Bahatanya often means, but isn't there a braita, and it brings a contradiction? But there are a certain percentage, I don't know what the percentage is, but a small percentage of times where it says Bahatanya, and what it means is, and here's a proof, okay, here's a proof from a braita, that we can distinguish between Anshei Ha'ir and Yoshvei Ha'ir. And Rashi generally helps you out and tells you. So if you ever want to know, it says, if you start reading it and assume it's a question, which usually, and you'll say, but this doesn't sound like it contradicts, you look at Rashi and Rashi says, Benichuta, which means it's not a question. V'hatanya, Hamudar Hana'ami B'nei Ha'ir. Okay, if you say, you make a neder, that you're not going to get benefit from anybody who lives in, who's a B'nei Ha'ir, so who does this refer to? Only a person who's been in the city already 12 months. And that's if you say, which is like, but if you say, it's different between an inhabitant and someone who is part of the city, right? Someone who just living, you know, could be living there, is living for 30 days. 30 days is often a period, right? 30 days in a year are often time periods we use for various things. This is a good example where, you know, the 30 days is used in one situation and a year is used in another. Tanu Rabbanan, Hacharem otav et kol asher ba. So what does this mean, right? You have to burn everything. It turns into cherem, which means we burn it and everything in it. The city and its possessions. But what does this not include? Prat l'nechzei tzadikim shebachutzala. Ve'et kol asher ba. Okay, so cherem ota means only things in the city, but excluding possessions of tzadikim that are outside the city. Ve'et kol asher ba comes l'rabot tzadikim shebitocha. Okay, comes to include the property of tzaddikim that's inside. So even though we don't kill the tzaddikim, but we do destroy their property. Shlala, what about the word shlala? Okay, below, right, you have to read the whole pasuk, it'll be easier. Haket haket yoshvei ha'ir ahi lefi charev, that we already darshan the yoshvei ha'ir a minute ago. Hacharem otav et kol asher ba, ve'et behemta lefi charev. Okay, and the animal inside it, lefi charev. We're going to talk about the behemah later. Ve'et kol shlala tikbot el toch rechava. Okay, we have to gather all the shalal to the street or the like a square. V'sarafta ba'esh et ha'ir ve'et kol shlala kalil Hashem Elokecha v'ayta tel olam lo tibaneod. And you're never allowed to rebuild this city. So now we're going to darshan all this part. So acharei mota tells you, even nechassim of tzaddikim that are, right, sorry, nechassim of tzaddikim that are outside the city are not included, because it's only ota, the city. Ve'et kol asher ba, which obviously means nechassim of rishaim that are outside the city are destroyed. And others, right? No, even outside, because hacharei mota says to exclude nechassim of tzaddikim that are outside the city, which means that the nechassim of those who worship the Avodah Zarah in the city do get destroyed. And then Ve'et kol asher ba comes to say, and additionally, we do destroy the nechsei tzadikim shebitocha. Shlalal v'lo shlal shamayim. Okay, only the shalal, things that belong to people, but not things that belong to God, like hekdesh. We'll get into the distinctions about that. Ve'et kol shlala. What about this? Why does it say shlala, and then it also says ve'et kol shlala? L'rabot nechsei tzadikim shemichutzala. Okay, this is what was already implicit, but they're saying now they have a special drasha to say, and that includes nechsei v'shaim that are outside the city. Amar Rabbi Shimon, mipnei ma amra Torah nechsei tzadikim shebitocha yovedu? Why did the nechsei tzadikim in the city get destroyed? Mi gaham lehem shiaduru b'tocha mamonam. This is a great line. What brought them to the city? It's a city full of Rishaim. Why would they live in a bad city? It must be for financial reasons they're living in this city. And if that's the case, lefichach mamonam aved. It's an interesting theory.
No,
right?
But they're wrong. Because
why are they wrong?
Just like a Gorin Torani goes into all these crime-laden towns in
Israel. That's a modern idea of let's write. Maybe. Could be.
Or it could have grown up around them. and the people around them could have turned evil. They could have made
the slums and towns. Right, but then they should have left, you know, what was keeping them. It's not, it's an interesting theory. It's not necessarily a proven thing. Amar Mar, v'et kol shlalat tikbots lerabot nechsei v'sheim shebechutz ala. Amar Rav Chisda, so now what kind of nechsei v'sheim that are outside the city are we going to start destroying? So Rav Chisda says it's not all nechsei v'sheim. Let's say the city is Ra'anana, and they have property in America. Okay, are we going to bring that to the ear nidachan and start destroying it? So Amar Rav Chisda u'benikbatzim l'tocha. It's only things that you can actually physically take and bring to here. If they own property somewhere else, we don't take the property and bring
it's
it
metaltalin.
In. Right, it's metaltalin. And things that can actually be gathered into the city. Okay, that you can bring. Meaning they're not also so far away that you can't bring them. Amar Rav Chisda. Pikdonot shel anshei ir hanidachat mutarim. If you have a pikadon of people from the city, let's say you're holding something of someone who lives in the Irani Dacha, mutarim. Okay, so we're going to see exactly who's holding a pikadon of who. It's not so clear. Hey, chidami. Ilema di ira cheret ve'itnuhu begava pshita de mutarim. Lav shalai. Lav shalau. If you want to say it's money of a different person, and I gave my property to someone living in the Irani Dacha, and he was washing my possessions, of course that's not going to be destroyed, because that's not doesn't belong to him at all. It doesn't belong to the Irani Dacha, it belongs to me. Ve'ela ditu, but if it belongs to the people in Irani Dacha, ve'idnu hu be'ir acheret, and they gave it to me to watch in a different city, idinik batzin l'tocha ha'amai mutarin, ve'enik batzin l'tocha ha'amar chadzimna. In other words, either I can actually bring it to the city, it can be nikbatzim, which obviously then it should be destroyed, just because he gave it to me to watch, and I live in Kfar Saba, and they live in Ra'anana, it shouldn't be destroyed. And if it can't be nikbatzim l'tocha, because it's too far away, or it's too big, or whatever it is, then why would it be mutar? And then, we already said, Rav Chisda said, we're only talking about nechsei v'sheim that are outside the city, that can be nikbatzim l'tocha, and Rav Chisda already said it's not a problem, so it doesn't make any sense. So therefore, what's the case? It's my possessions that I give to someone who's living in the Irani Dacha to watch. It's a case where the person took responsibility and they said, if I lose this, I will replace it. Which maybe you might have thought, what? This goes back to Baba Metzia, right? That if you watch something and you take responsibility, you're a pseudo owner of the item. So maybe it actually belongs to someone in the Irani Dacha. Kamashmalan, therefore it comes to teach you, no. So going back, we said, Rav Chisda said, Pikdonot shel anshei ir hanidacha mutarim, that means if they're watching my possessions, even if they assumed responsibility, it doesn't get destroyed in the ir hanidacha, because assuming responsibility does not give him ownership enough to say that it gets destroyed in the ir hanidacha. Am Rav Chisda, behema chetzia shel ir hanidacha vechetzia shel ir acheret. What if you have an animal that's half owned by me and half owned by a person who lives in the Irani Dachat? So, asura, okay? We're part ownerships of a farm. So now what do we do with this animal? Let's say if we own one animal. So the animal is asura. But isa, but if we own a bakery together, then our shared dough, chetzia shel Irani Dachat vechetzia shel ir acheret, muteret, is going to be mutar. So my time of behema, what's the reason? Sorry, my time, what's the reason, the difference between them? Behema kimandalo pligadamia. Isa kimanda pligadamia. And isa is easy to split in half, but behema you can't really split in half. So therefore, since it's half owned by someone in Irani Dachat, it's considered the possession of the Irani Dachat. By Rav Chisda, behemat Irani Dachat, Mao did it hane be shchita le tahara midei nevela. With the cherav amarachma. Okay, let me stop for a minute. I got to give us a background. Shchita does two things. Shchita allows you to eat an animal to make it kosher, and which won't help here because all the stuff in the Irani Dachat has to be cherem and it's asur b'hana'a, so you can't eat it anyway. But shchita also prevents an animal from being, if an animal is a nevela, it dies naturally, it gets killed, you know, shot by someone hunting it, whatever reason. If it gets killed, it's called a nevela. Number one, it's not kosher, but number two, it also is mitame. So it's mitame, it's an avatuma, and it's mitame, adam and kelim, okay? So if, let's say you have this animal from the Irani Dachat, which you can't eat anyway, but you shecht it, is it considered that you've taken it out of Tumat Nevela? That it won't be Matame, someone be Nevela if they touch it. Okay? So, what's the Havami, like, what's the logic here? The two ways. Lufi cherev amarachmana. Now, what's lufi cherev? They have to die with saif, the animals also. Now, what is saif? Beheading. What is beheading? Well, shchita is like beheading, right? Shchita, in essence, is beheading the animal. So, do we say that when you did, the Torah said lufi cherev, loshna shachta mishcha, loshna katla miktal. If you shecht it or you kill it by beheading it, right? Let's say you don't do it exactly in the kosher shchita way. Both of those are lefi cherev, which means that when you shechted this animal, you didn't do it l'shem shchita to take it out of tumat avela. You did it lefi cherev. It was the actual killing of the animal according to its punishment. And therefore, it wouldn't remove it from tumat avela. O dilma kevan deshachta mahan yale shchita. Or do we say, no, listen, you shechted it. Who cares if you fulfilled the lefi cherev? You also happen to have shechted it, which means that it's no longer considered an avela. Teku, okay? My teku. The Gemara doesn't know what the answer is. By Rav Yosef. Se'ar nashim tzidkaniyot mahu. Okay, people used hair for all sorts of things. You could make things out of hair. What about the hair of the women who were not worshipping Avodah Zarah in the city? What's the status of their hair? Do we view this as Amarava hadrishiyot asur? Okay, so actually this is the answer. So what? The question is it considered property of the city that we have to destroy or not? So Amarava, let's say one of the tzidkaniyot cut their hair and had a lot of hair and they wanted to do something with it. Is that considered the rechush and we have to burn it or not? It's so interesting to think of your hair as rechush, but they used hair for all sorts of things, so it could be. Amar Rava, hadi rishayot asur. He said, first of all, what are you talking about? You think the rishayot is asur? You think their hair is asur? In other words, what might be done that you started calling hair possessions? Why is hair different from other types of things, even though it does have uses? What does it say? You have to take tigbots v'sarafta. You have to gather the stuff in the center of the city and burn it. Tiv. So that's what's written in the pasuk. So what do we learn from here? What do you have to gather? Anything that can be gathered and burned, right? Misha eino mechusar elat fitzau strefa. It's things that the only thing you have to do to them is gather them and burn them. But this has to be cut first before you can gather it. So it's not considered something that's supposed to go into this category of stuff that we burn. So therefore, now Rav Yosef asked this question, and Rav says, what kind of a question is this? Even the Rishayot, the Nashim, the bad women, it wouldn't be. So therefore, Elam Aravi, he says, Rav Yosef, he must have been asking about Peyan Ochrit, about a woman's wig. Okay, hey chidami. So what's the case? Ida mechubar begufa kiguf yadama. If it's on her head, then it's part of her body. This is interesting, right? They view a wig of a woman as part of her body, in which case, of course, you're not going to destroy it. Lo tzricha detali besivta. It's where you hung it up on a hook. Okay, so do we say, ki nichse tzadikim shebetocha damia ve'aved? O dilma kevanda alavanavka kelebush yadami. Do we say, since she wears it often, puts it on, takes it off, it's considered her levush, in which case it's not considered possessions of the city that need to be destroyed. It's kind of part of an extension of herself. Or do you view it as, no, since it's not on her head right now, we're going to destroy this, okay? And since it's a separate, it's not part of her body, so how do you view this wig? And the Gemara answers, tegu. Okay, we don't know the answer to this question. An interesting question.
It brings up a really creepy memory. Because what are they worried about? There should be profit from this hair. And the Nazis collected all the hair.
It's funny. I was learning this stuff from my daughter yesterday, and that was immediately the image she thought of when we went to Auschwitz. And she said how they used all the hair and they did stuff with it. So, yeah, it does conjure up that image. Yes. Okay. So now you have to gather everything into the courtyard of the city. Tana Rabbanan, Ein La Rechov, Ein Anas Seiti Yoni Dacha, Devar Rabbi Yishmael. What do you learn from here? Another exclusion? If there's no courtyard to the city or street, town square, so no Yoni Dacha. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein La Rechov, Osin La Rechov. Now you create a Rechov and then you have a Rechov. B'mai Kamiflegei, Mar Sava Rechova Mi Ikara Mashma. Rabbi Shmuel holds that when it says El Rechova, it means the Rechova that already existed. And therefore, if it didn't exist, then you can't do the Psukim, it doesn't count. Umar Sava Rechova Hashanami Mashma. Rechova could mean create a Rechova now, and that's fine. Hekdeshot Sheba Yifdu. Okay, the Hekdeshot in the city we redeem. So according to the Mishnah, Yifdu, Vahatrumot, Yirkavu, Master Shane, Kitbe Kodesh, Yignizu. Okay, so what is this? The Hekidesh Shot, anything that's Hekidesh, what's that considered? Mamon Gavoa. Mamon Gavoa is not part of the property of the city. And therefore, what do? We redeem it, right? And then it becomes, right, we take the money and we can use it. Trumot, your kavu, they have to rot. We're going to get to the Trumot soon. And Maser Sheni, Kitvei Kodesh, Yignizu. In theory, they should be burned, but we don't want to burn them. So what do? We do Gniza, we bury them. Okay, so let's get into the details here. Tana Rabbanan. Hayuba Kodashim. If there were different Kodashim, so what do we do with them? Kodshei Mizbeach, if there were animals that were designated for the Mizbeach, Yamutu. We let them die. Okay, that means we put them like an enclosed area, either according to some interpretations, we feed them sorim until they burn, until they burst, like the right, like just like the Anashim Chamachnisim Utam L'Kippah, you know, until they get sick and die. Or they actually starve them. Don't give them anything until they die. Kodshei bedek habayit, if there were things designated for use in the mikdash, then yifdu, then we redeem them. Utrumot yirkavu, umaser sheni ukitvei kodesh yignizu. Okay, we're going to get into all the details soon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and we're not going to understand this just yet. Behemta, the pasuk says behemta, which comes to exclude velo behemat bechor umaser, which means maser, right? The maser, the animal that's the maser animal. Okay, so there's bechor, they bring the bechor and the maser behema. So we're going to talk about soon what the differences are between these and why Rabbi Shimon distinguishes them. Shlala. Prat lekesef hekadesh ukesef maser. The second thing Rabbi Shimon says is, right, from behemta we exclude the behemah b'chor maser. Shlala, we exclude kesef hekadesh and kesef maser. Okay, which is the money that you use to be poda your maser shein you're supposed to bring to Yerushalayim. So you flipped it onto a coin. That kesef is excluded. Okay, now we have to understand this bright to better because it's hard to understand what they're talking about. Hayuba kodeshim. Kodeshim is be'ach yamutu. So first thing is, why do we let them die? Amaya mutu, yiru ad shistavu, v'yimachru, v'yipludimayam linadava. If money was given, or animals were given to the mizbeach, so this was designated as a korban. We'd always rather sacrifice that if we could. Now, we can't sacrifice this animal because this animal was from an ir nidacha. So what do? A better option, instead of saying, let's let it die, is let it... Yiru, right? You usually put it in an enclosed place until somehow it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, it's no longer right away for the mizbeach. Once you do that, you're allowed to, we've seen this in other cases, you're allowed to redeem it onto money, take the money, go buy an animal with it, and bring it as an olat nedava. What were the olat nedava? If you remember, when they never wanted the mizbeach to be sitting idle. So when there were no korbanot to bring, they would bring these olot nedava. Okay, which will go up fully to God, and why don't we do that with the money? So, what's the answer? So we have two answers. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zevach Rishaim Toeva. This came from a sacrifice that someone had designated. This animal was designated by a rasha. So we don't care that we're going to flip it onto a coin and turn it into...
How much of a rasha could he have been if he was designated in something for the Kodesh?
What do you mean? Didn't you read the Nevi'im, right? Echtav Ashuv, Echtav Ashuv. He worshipped Avodah Zarah. Yeah, he brought a korban, but he also worshipped Avodah Zarah. So, you know, what kind of a korban is that? That's exactly the point. God doesn't want zvachim from people who were just randomly bringing korbanot when they really didn't mean what they were doing. They were, you know, all over Nevi'im Achronim. That's what they're complaining about. People bring these sacrifices and they think that means they could be bad people and they could do whatever they want. And as long as they bring their sacrifices, they're okay. So God doesn't want a zevach rishaim, and therefore... Even though we're going to flip it onto a coin and buy a new animal with it, it's still rooted in evil.
There's a great quote in Yeshayahu. I don't want your faulty sacrifice.
Right, exactly. Rish Lakish amar, mamon balimhu. V'hacha b'kodashim shechaya b'achrayutan. Rish Lakish says, no. The reason why this gets killed is because it's mamon ba'alim. In other words, the kodashim are considered mamon ba'alim. In which case is this? In a case of kodashim shechaya b'achrutam, what does that mean? There's two different ways you could bring a korban nedava. Either you say, harei, right, behema zo alai, this animal I'm going to bring, in which case, that's not the case we're talking about. You're not chaya b'achrut. If something happens to that animal, you don't have to bring another korban in its place because you designated that animal. But if you say, harei alai, to bring a korban, and you designate an animal, and something happens to the animal, you have to replace it with a different animal because you committed harei alai. That's called chayav achrayutam. We're having a lot of things of achrayut today. if you're chayav b'achriyutan, then what does that make it? It makes it your mamon. It's not mamon gavoa. That means that it's not excluded from the isur, right? From the irani dachad. It's your rechush. So therefore, that's why the animal has to die. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan says it's because it's zevach rishayim toiva. And Rish Lakish says, no, we view this as mamon ba'alim. And you'd have to say that he holds like a Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Shimon da'amar mamon ba'alim. Okay, because Rabbi Shimon holds, there's a whole machloket about whether when you bring a korban, the chayav b'achrayut, do we view this as mamon ba'alim, or is it considered, even though you're chayav b'achrayut, it's mamon gavo, exactly like we debated before. If you're watching someone's pichadon with achrayut, does that mean it's in your possession, or does that mean it's still in the original owner's possession? Same thing. So if you accept achrayut, does that mean it's in your possession, or does it mean it's in God's possession because it's a korban? So, according to Rish Lakish, the way he's explaining Tanakhama, it has to fit with Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara questions this and says, wait a minute, if you remember the Braita, there's a machloka Tanakhama Rabbi Shimon. And he's explaining Tanakhama as Rabbi Shimon's opinion. He says, wait a minute, having to say for Rabbi Shimon, Reish Allah Rabbi Shimon. Can't be the Reish's Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, what do we answer? Ah. So he's not talking about all korbanot. Now we're narrowing it. It's not just kodashim, it's kodshim kalim. Okay? So therefore, what we're saying is Bekodshim Kalim, Valiba de Rabbi Yossi Aglili. There's a different opinion that Rabbi Shimon said, any, even Kodshim, right, there's different types of korbanot. One is the higher level, one is the lower level. I'm not going to get into all the details which are which, but there's different sacrifices. So Rabbi Shimon held that all Kodshim, even Kodshim, were Mamon Balim, if you took a Achrayut. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, no Kodshim Kalim are considered Mamon Balim, and Kodshi Kodshim are considered Mamon Gavoa, in which case this Braita would be referring, according to Rish Lakish, would be referring to Kodshim Kalim. And according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili Damar, Kodshim Kalim Mamon Balim. Aval Kodshi Kodshim Mai Yipadu. So according to this, what would you say about Kodshi Kodshim? Right? They don't get killed because, right? According to this, what's the issue, right? They wouldn't get killed because they're mamon gavoa, which means they're not part of this gzeira of, you know, you have to destroy everything. And then in which case, what would we say? Yipadu, right? You redeem it. But then, adetane seifa, kodshe bedek habayit yifdu, but what happens? It doesn't make sense to say that kodshe kodshim are yifdu, because if that were the case, the Mishnah already specifies certain things that are yifdu, and it doesn't mention kodshe kodshim, right? It doesn't make any sense to say that. Right? Adetane seifa, kodshe bedek habayit yifdu, Liflog v'lit nebedida. It should have distinguished and said, "Bamed v'armamurim b'kodshim kalim, ava b'kodshim kodshim yifdu." Right. So therefore, they're saying, if you want to distinguish and start saying, we're going to distinguish between kodshim kodshim, which are going to be yifdu, right, which doesn't mention it in the Braita, and kodshim kalim are yamutu, which it does say in the Braita, right. So if the Braita just said these yamutu and didn't continue on, then it would make sense. But the Braita continues on and gives us cases where also yifdu. In which case, if kodshe kodshim are yifdu, it should have listed that also in the list. So now the Gemara is going to say, no, no, no. Even though kodshe kodshim yifdu, we're going to explain to you why it didn't list it in the list of yifdu. Why the Braita didn't mention kodshe kodshim. And that's because the Braita likes to mention things that are across the board. And there are some cases where you wouldn't yivdu. Okay, what would that case be? Kevan di'ika chatat shemetu ba'aleh dilimita azla lo psikale. Now we're going to say, there's a case, and there's a bunch of cases like this, we learned them a long, long time ago. There's a chatat, if somebody designates a chatat, and then they die before they sacrifice it, which is probably going to be the common case here in the Irani Dachat, because all these people are getting killed, and what are these animals? They're animals they designated. So if it was for a korban chatat, let's say, so then the balim died, what do? All right, you can't, it's lamita azla. You cannot redeem it. You have to leave it to go die. In which case, they didn't want to say all kodshi kodshim yifdu, because there are certain cases of kodshi kodshim shelo yifdu, which is this chatat shemeta bala. And therefore, they didn't say it, in which case, you could still say that that's the case. Okay, so now we want to say, Bishlama, why did Rabbi Yochanan like Rish Lakish, and why did Rish Lakish hold like Rabbi Yochanan? Bishlama, Rabbi Yochanan lo amar ki Rish Lakish, dichtiv, zevach Hashem toeva. He clearly held that kodshi kodshim are not yifdu, because he held across the board, zevach Hashem toeva. You should never bring a zevach Hashem, you shouldn't even be able to redeem. Ela Rish Lakish, my time lo amar ki Rabbi Yochanan, why didn't he view this zevach Hashem toeva? Amar lacha, ki amrina zevach Hashem toeva, hanemila hecha di'inu be'inayhu. Aval hacha kevan de ishtene ishtene. Again, we get back to this whole thing of dine mamonot and kinyanim and changing ownership and all that, right? Or things could be owned by other people. They're saying it's true zevach mishaim toivah, but that's only the animal itself. But if you redeem it onto a coin and go buy a different animal, it's already something different, and that's not considered zevach mishaim. Now, so that was all understanding Tanakhama. Now we want to try to understand Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon omer behem techav lo behem bechor umaser. B'maya skinan, what kind of bechor umaser are we talking about? There's two options. One is it's a tamima, okay? It's a good pure animal, and another is that it has a mum. So ilema bitzmimim a behemat bechor umaser shlal shamayim hu. That belongs to shamayim, and therefore, of course, it's not included. Ela bebalin mumim shlalaninu. If you say it's a bal mum, then it's the shalal, and then it should be killed. So why does he exclude it then? In other words, either it's going to be excluded from shlala, in which case we don't need the word behema to exclude it, or it's going to be included because it's part of the shalal of the city, in which case we're going to include it. We're not going to exclude it. So bale mumim, right? It's going to be included and burned. So why would we exclude it? So now we're going to have two options. Either we're going to say it's the Tmimim or it's the Balei Mumim. So we're going to start with the Balei Mumim. In other words, right now, it doesn't look like either one works out. So Amar Ravina, Lo Olam B'Balei Mumim, U'mishin Echa B'Torat Behem Techa, Yatzu Elu She'ena Nechalim B'Torat Behem Techa, Ela B'Torat B'Chor U'Maser. Now, some people get rid of these words, which I think makes more sense. D'Shlal Shamayim Ninu, because we don't really view these as Shlal Shamayim. Okay, so I'm going to read with the Nusach without that. What they're saying here is, the word behemtecha, behemta, comes to say only behemoth that are considered behemoth. Not ones that have, it's called like a name that goes along with it. These are called behemat bechor maser, right? They're called, they have a unique name as some other kind of behema. So because of that, even though they're baalei mumim, they're not going to be destroyed with the city because they're not behemtecha. In other words, you might say, if they're baalei mum, what would we say? It's baalei mum already you can eat. What's different about baalei mum and not baalei mum of a korban, what do we say? If it gets a mum, what do? You do pidyon, and then you can then use it for a korban. With bechor and maser, once it's a baal mum, you can already treat it as regular. It's just chulin without doing any sort of pidyon. So they say this isn't called behemta, all the behemot in the city, because it's called a behemat bechor or behemat maser. It's got a different status. Okay, even though it's not really so different, it's still mamon hedyot. It's not mamon gavah. Okay, that's one way of reading it. Upliga de Shmuel. What's the difference with Shmuel? Shmuel disagrees. Amar Shmuel, hakol kareva, hakol nifteh. That's how he explains Rabbi Shimon, which is not clear at all. My kamar, what does he mean? Hachi kamar. Kol shekarev keshutam, v'nifteh keshubalmum, mishlal imut. The word shalal comes to exclude what? Anything that is sacrificed when it's good and needs pidyon when it's bad, which is not the bechor and the maaser, right? That's regular korbanot, like the kodesh kodeshim, you do. All those are going to be considered not part of shalal, and therefore excluded. But kol shekarev kshutam ve'eno nifdak shubalmum, kegon bechor umaser, mi behema nafka. What he basically says is, the first opinion, remember, said only balei mumim. That was Ravina. Ravina said that Rabbi Shimon means only balei mumim. Comes Shmuel and he says, even tmimim. Why is that? Because even when they're tmimim, they're in a category that's different from kodshei kodshim. Kodshei kodshim, you have to do pidyon. These you don't have to do pidyon for. So therefore, they're in a lower category, which means that they're more similar to, let's say, your own mamon, because if something happens to them, you can already eat them, they're regular. And therefore, even when they're tmimim, they're not excluded from the shalal, but they are excluded from the behemah pasuk. And the whole thing is, if you're going to say tmimim, right? Either you're going to say the mamon gavah, or you're going to say. So he says they're in this in between category, and therefore they're not excluded from the word shalal, but they are going to be excluded from behemah. So the main nafkamina between them is that he thinks that when Rabbi Shimon says bechor behemah umaser, they're talking about tmimim, and Ravina thinks he's talking about only balei mumim. Okay, and then according to Ravina, if they were to be mean, then they right. One second, behem techa velo behem apachor maser, right? And then, so you would have right. So you know what? We'll start tomorrow, and we'll do a sikkum of this. I'll organize it a little better for tomorrow.